week we had our annual graduation for the daycare. And we're not a real big school, but it was amazing how many people showed up. Grandmas and grandpas, moms and dads and relatives for our annual, it's actually the spring program and graduation for the five-year-old kindergarten program. They had the little three-year-olds up here with their little program. But the amazing thing was, and I'm mentioning this because we're not a real big school, but you may know of some people out there who are looking for a kindergarten where they want their child to excel. As you know, there is public kindergarten now. But there are folks that still want their children to be in a Christian daycare or in a daycare that will help their child advance. And it was great. We saw the kids. They got up here. They did some addition for us. They even had a little time of sharing Spanish. They're learning Spanish in those as little guys, and they sharing some of their Spanish vocabulary. We had a young man, I think it was a kindergartner, come up here and read out of a book. You've seen him read, I'll tell you, it was great. People were cheering when they heard that little boy do that. Well, a lot of good things happen at Sunshine Daycare. We have a great school. It's not a real big school, but it's a very fine school, high caliber. And we have students that go on from here. They go into first grade and they excel. Some of them are far beyond their classmates. We have heard a report not too long ago where one of our little boys is doing advanced studies. I think it's three or four grades beyond the grade he's in. He's the one that came through our school. So there's a lot of good things about Sunshine. And we don't talk about it a lot, but just to let you know, that's another ministry of the church. And I appreciate my wife serves as the director, and she has teachers here in the congregation. As you know, we honored Cheryl for 20 years service, and we have others here, other ladies that work, Diane and Vicki and Ruth helps us, and Terry and Sue Page and Corrine. She helps in the nursery too, but she works in our daycare. These ladies really see it as a ministry. So I'd like for you to put that on your prayer list. Would you pray that God sends us the people that we need, because we can only keep the doors open if we have students. We've had to scale down our school considerably. At one time, we had, several years ago now, it's going back a number of years, we had about five classes for kindergarten. And then, as you know, the town started supplying kindergarten to the community. And so that's dwindled. So instead, we have one class now. So there was a time when we were growing, and now we're down to the one kindergarten class, but we also provide daycare. We have a program for three-year-olds and four-year-olds. But I was thinking about it. We need to be praying for this ministry. If you know of some of your neighbors, friends, have young ones, share with them the fact that we have a great daycare preschool here, and encourage them to at least check us out. I believe they'll find that we're one of the most reasonable in town, and certainly I believe the finest. On this Mission Sunday, I felt that I would like to share some thoughts on a passage that certainly has a missionary theme to it. We've often mentioned that the heart of God is a mission's heart. The scripture says God is not willing that any should perish. And yet we know there are millions of people who are perishing and will perish for eternity. But God's heart is that none should perish. And that becomes a theme from Genesis to Revelation. A God in heaven who loves humankind so much and desires for humankind to spend eternity with him in heaven, that he has made provision for us. God wants you to be saved. God wants you to be in heaven with him. Think about that. And not only does he want you to be there, he wants your unsaved spouse to be there. He wants your unsaved relatives to be there. He wants your neighbors to be there. God wants people to be redeemed, to be saved. Have you ever hosted a special event, made all the preparations, only to have no one show up? Maybe you never experienced a situation like this, but if you did, you know how it feels. And if you were to have something like that happen to you, I wonder, how do you think you'd feel? You know, my wife and I have been in ministry now for a long time. I longer than she. And in 40 years of ministry, I've seen a lot of things. And I have to say, in looking back over my days of ministry, there have been at least one, maybe two situations where we have been in a situation like that, where we have made all the preparations and everything, and then we're waiting and nobody showed up. You say, oh, how could that happen to the pastor? Well, it happens sometimes, folks, I'll tell you. Nobody showed up. Now, why would I use that as an opening thought? It's because there's a passage in Scripture I want to take us to. You're going to find it in Luke, the 14th chapter, and the 16th verse. We're going to begin to read there, and then I'm going to read through it. It reads like this, beginning to read in verse 16 of Luke 14. A certain man was giving a big dinner, and he invited many. And at the dinner hour, he sent his slave to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything is ready now. But they all began to make excuses. The first one said to him, I've bought a piece of land, and I need to go out and look at it. Please consider me excused. And another one said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I am going to try them out. Please consider me excused. And another one said, I have married a wife, and for that reason I cannot come. And the slave came back and reported this to his master, and then the head of the household became angry and said to his slave, go out at once into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame. And the slave said, master, what you have commanded has been done, and still there is room. And the master said to the slave, go out into the highways and along the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. I want to speak on the subject, no excuse. No excuse. I came across something I think you'll find interesting. A certain church made the following announcement in their magazine. They had a church magazine they sent out. And they wanted to have a no excuses Sunday at their church. And so they sent out this. They said, to make it possible for everyone to attend worship next Sunday, we're having a special No Excuses Sunday. Beds will be placed in the aisles for all who say, Sunday is the only day I'm able to sleep in late. Eye drops will be provided for all those who watch TV too late on Saturday night. Steel helmets will be handed out to all those who say, the roof will fall in if I ever come to church. Blankets will be provided for all those who say the church is too cold, and fans for those who say it's too hot. We will have hearing aids for all those who say the minister speaks too softly, and earplugs for those who say the organist plays too loudly. Scorecards will be available for all those who wish to keep a record of the hypocrites present. There will be TV dinners for all those who find it difficult to attend church and prepare the Sunday lunch at the same time. One section of the church will be devoted to trees and grass for those who like to see God in nature. Finally, the church will be decorated with Christmas decorations and Easter flowers for those who have never seen the church without them. Yeah, no excuse, no excuse. I thought that this passage was interesting that I read for you today because really it's dealing with excuses. And, we hear some real inventive ones from time to time, don't we? I don't know if you can think back of the times when you were attending school and you know you have to be there and sometimes you know you're going to be late and you shouldn't have been late and it's always great to come up with a good excuse. We think of a good, what's a good excuse? A good excuse is supposed to give a reasonable explanation why you didn't follow through on something, either attendance or follow through on something you were supposed to do. We think up these, say, oh, that's a good excuse. Or we'll say, that wasn't a very good excuse. It's supposed to kind of be give us a right to not do something that we're supposed to do. And in this passage, it's an important passage because it shows us something about the nature of God and the character of God. We know that God is a loving God, and I've already prefaced my remarks this morning by saying that God loves us so much that He wants you to be saved. He wants you in heaven one day with Him. Everybody here in this place, no one is excepted from this. God loves you so much, He wants you in heaven with Him. No exceptions here. No exceptions. And yet, we make it difficult sometimes to experience the blessing of God. And why? It's because of the excuses we sometimes come up with. I was thinking of this passage, if you go over it, that, first of all, the call of the master. A certain man was giving this big dinner. He invited many, and he sent out, and he say to those who had been invited, come, for everything is ready now. Some things we see from this passage. We live in the day of the master's call. We live in the day of the master's call. Now, it could be said that there never was a time when the master wasn't calling out to people. From the beginning of time, he had a heart for humanity, and that's true. But especially today, if ever there were a day when God is calling to the world, He's doing it today, and He's doing it through various means. He doesn't just use preachers, you know. He just doesn't use the TV and the radio. Sometimes we think, well, that's the way God is called. God uses many different ways that He calls to people. And there may be a time or two in your life when all of a sudden, just out of the blue, you might have been doing something that was rather mundane. It wasn't really churchy, so to speak. It had nothing to do with religion, but you were just doing something. And all of a sudden, God got your attention. Maybe something just happened, or a thought crossed your mind, and all of a sudden you're arrested for a moment in time, and you heard the voice of God calling to you. God is calling people today. This is the day of the master's call. People are coming into the realization that there is a supreme being in heaven that wants to have a relationship with them. We hear from our missionaries around the world that though the times are difficult in certain situations, like we saw this morning in this missions video, who would want to live in a situation like that, where the earthquake has destroyed homes, everything you own was gone, all you had was the clothes on your back, that was it. And that's the situation for many people, and yet God calls through tragedy. Some have even said perhaps the reason why we're experiencing so many cataclysmic events in our world today, maybe God's trying to get the attention of humanity and say, I do love you, I want you to turn to me. Maybe that's the way. And it's great to hear the reports of missionaries who in the aftermath of such tragedies report that there are scores of people, even hundreds of people, as we heard in that video, that are coming to Christ. They're laying aside their pagan gods and their pagan images and all of those religious practices that brought them nothing but despair, and they're finding hope in Jesus Christ. This is the day of the call of God, my friend. The Master is calling to the world. I think also, in this passage, we see that God has made preparations for a great celebration. Those who give little thought to what it means to be a child of God and to enter heaven's gates, you ought to think twice. God has gone to great expense to provide what He is providing for us. Great preparations have been made, and everything is ready. Some say, maybe we can delay a commitment to Christ. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the time to press in, because all things are ready and God is calling. Call them to this great dinner that I have prepared. Everything is ready now. There's never a better time to commit your life to God than now. You say, what's the best time to dedicate my life to God? The answer is always the same. Now. Now, some think that, it's a year from now. It's 5 years. Well, you know, when I retire, I'll have more time for that church stuff, and I'll take the grandkids to church and all of that down the road sometime. Listen, my friend, you don't know if you'll ever make it to retirement. God's call is always now, now. Tell him to come in now. Now's the time. There were some who said, well, you know, when this and that happens, then I'll have more time to spend doing the work of the Lord or get involved more. Listen, you'll never have time if that's your attitude. The answer is always the same. Now is the time to roll up your sleeves and get involved in what God is doing. Don't put it off. Those who put it off now wind up putting it off forever. And some will never make heaven because they always thought there was another time that they could commit to serving God. The call of the Master is relevant and it's timely. And it's always in the present and it's always now. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the time. Don't wait. How foolish it is for that person who thinks they have all the time in the world and then suddenly they're taken away. And they're gone. And people reminisce and think, well, I remember he always said one day he'd begin to take time for God and he'd make it. He said he was planning to. He had good intentions. Listen, you don't get to heaven on good intentions. You don't get to heaven by putting things off that are timely and essential. Call them now to come. I notice something else here. Notice the excuses that are made in this passage. The first one comes to him and says, I bought a piece of land and I need to go out and look at it. Please consider me excused. I bought a piece of land. Well, many of us have bought land or things of that sort from time to time. There's nothing wrong with that per se. But it is wrong if those things get in the way of you and God, your relationship with God. Land, representing investments and possessions. There are some people who are so focused on their current investment, or they're so focused on their possessions, what they've got or what they haven't got, or where they think they're going and what they need, that they're missing out on what God has for them. There's nothing you could think of today in your mind that would make you happy, that would in any way replace what God has for you right now. Some people foolishly think, oh, if I only had this, had that. Oh, if I only could buy that piece of property. Oh, if I lived in this house. You see, they're possession-oriented. Their whole life is thinking about the possession that they think they've got to have right at that moment. Hear me this morning. That will not satisfy your heart. You need to hear what the Master is saying. I've got all things prepared right now. And what I've got prepared for you will satisfy far beyond what you think you just have got to have. Investments, possessions. And then there's another that came to him. I've bought 5 yoke of oxen. I'm going to try them out. He wanted to go back to the farm and try them out. How that is, you know, we get a new toy, we want to try it out, right? That's the way we are. We get things. Some people have electronic toys. Some have cars and boats and all kinds of things. You know, we have our toys. We have our things. Then there's nothing wrong with a lot of these things. But it does sometimes become an issue when they keep us from what God is calling us to do. And the yoke of oxen, you know, for some people their work, their personal hobbies, their personal interests become far more important than the work of the Lord. You see, with a dinner invitation, there's usually an appointed time. It's not something you can delay and say, Well, you know, I'm going to be there. I might be running a little late and then 2 or 3 days later show up. You can't do that. You're either there or you're not there. And so it is with the work of the Lord, God's call, God's preparation. There's a special time involved he has for us. And you know, I found out a few things. I've lived long enough to discover that in the work of the Lord, timing at times is everything. Think for a moment. Those things that you just missed out on. You say, oh, if I had only. Timing sometimes is everything. When things just come together and you have got to be astute enough, you've got to be wise enough to make that decision at the proper time, or else you may lose out entirely. The dinner is prepared. The invitations go out. The time is now. The master's call is now. And yet, I've got my work. I've got my personal hobbies. I've got my interests. Maybe I can delay a little bit. Look at the third excuse. Another one comes and says, oh, I've married a wife. Well, some of us could probably identify with that this morning. I married a wife. Scripture says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing. It's a good thing to have a good wife, godly wife. There's nothing wrong with that. But it probably could represent personal relationships. Sometimes it's not so much things that are keeping us from heeding the call of the master. Sometimes it's these personal relationships that we want to maintain or encourage. Oh, I'd like to be involved, but you know, I got to be careful here because I'm working on something and I don't want to offend this person or that. Listen, we need to be more concerned about offending God. Sometimes we're far more interested in not offending people than we are about offending God. You ought to keep that as a highlight in your little book of memories. Make sure I don't offend God. Don't offend God. And yet there are individuals, because of what they think is expedient, because they think it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, I've just got to be careful here. I've got to maintain the right relationship with this individual, and I got to be careful, and we'll put God off because we want to encourage some human relationship or some kind of connection that we think is important to us. I've married a wife. Please excuse me. You certainly would understand. You know, I think we ought to consider for a moment what it's like when you're faced with that kind of a situation, when all things are ready and no one shows up like we have here. I've already mentioned that my wife and I have experienced it at least on one or two occasions. And there's a little bit disappointment sets in. I wouldn't really call it anger, just mostly disappointment. Because your motives and everything are because you want to do something special, and you made that preparation, and you've worked so hard towards that to make it special, and then not to be able to share the good things that you've prepared with others. And I think probably our feelings on that occasion were more disappointment. Funny, isn't it? That you really want to do something where you're going to be put out, you know, you're the one who's going to have to do this, you're going to have to do that, you're going to have to serve others or whatever, and that, and it didn't happen. You say, oh man, what a relief. Oh, not really. The opposite reaction is one of disappointment, because you look forward to doing that, because of Christ, really. You want to share the love of Christ, and you want to do something that's going to help another person, and then not to be given that opportunity. In the house of the Lord, it's a place of opportunity for people. Do you know that? It's a place where people can come and get issues resolved. People come to church oftentimes and sit where you're sitting. And maybe the whatever is being done, it might be a song that's being sung, it might be words that are being spoken, all of a sudden God uses it and resolves an issue in a person's life right where they're sitting. It's a place of resolution, God's house. Good things happen in the house of the Lord. What a shame to miss out on what God has prepared for you. To think of it, God has prepared something for you, and then you don't show up. That's kind of the feeling, I think. It's disappointment. I don't know if God feels disappointment. I don't know. He's God. You say, well, God's got everything. He is everything. He shouldn't ever get disappointed. I don't know. Certainly Jesus, the Son of God, can feel as we feel. Maybe that's one of the advantages of having the second person of the Trinity. coming and walked in the flesh as we are, because he understands how we think. He understands how we feel. Maybe that's the dimension to God now, since the incarnation, that God senses, perhaps through the Son. I don't know. Interesting theological discussion. But God, could God ever be disappointed? I don't know. I know he feels anger. In fact, if you go back to this passage, it says, then the head of the household became angry. What was the master's response? Take a look at it. He became angry. Now, there are some things you can be angry about. They say, oh, you should never be angry. But what kind of a person is that, that never gets angry about anything? How lackluster. Sometimes you want to see a little animation in a person's personality, right? You don't want to surround yourself with people who always are the same and show no emotion. I mean, that would be very boring. What kind of a party would that be to invite people to? Sit around and just kind of looking at each other and no emotion being shown or anything, and trying to be logical and rational about everything. I think that's really kind of the spice of life, and what gives flavor to life is that we're creatures, we're emotional creatures, and we can share our emotions from time to time. And it says here that when the master of the house heard the report that nobody was coming after he had given the invitation, he became angry. And there's some things we ought to become angry with. We ought to become angry with the devil meddling in the things of God, for one thing. We ought to become angry, maybe at ourselves, when we know better and we don't do what we know we should do. Have you ever been in that position? Some people are so egotistical, they never see themselves that way, because they always do everything right all the time. But if you're astute and you examine yourself, you will know there are some of those times when you get angry with yourself. Why didn't I do such and such? What's the matter with me? Why didn't I? The focus comes back on you, and you realize that you missed out on something because you were either too lazy or too lax, or you were indifferent or whatever. You just missed it. You just missed it. You get angry with yourself. Since the master became angry because they didn't show up, notice also that the invitation then was taken and given to others. He became angry, said to his slave, go out at once to the streets and lanes of the city, bring in here the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. In other words, go out into the immediate area, find whoever you can, and include them. They're on the guest list now. It was an open invitation. And we hear about the call of God. And what is the message of the kingdom of God? The message of the kingdom of God is that you don't have to be a certain way in order to be a member of God's church, part of his church. The church of Jesus Christ. You don't have to be a certain way. That is, you don't have to have a certain skin color. You don't have to have a certain talent or ability. You come to God as you are. God loves you just the way you are. Blind, crippled, despised perhaps by society. You come to God the way you are. There are some people that won't come to God. They think they got to clean their own act up and get a certain way before they come to God. Oh, no, no. No, no. You come into the presence of the King the way you are, and you let him change you. You can't change yourself, make yourself good enough to be in the presence of the Almighty God of the universe. Only the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ can change you. And when you are covered with the grace of Jesus, God sees you in a state of perfection, made perfect by the blood of the Lamb, and God welcomes you into his presence. Call them, the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Who would ever invite them to a feast? You see, that's the call of the missionary now, isn't it? You saw it this morning. Those people who were living destitute on the streets after a calamity that we saw the aftermath, and those are the people God is calling. And what's happening? Their lives are being changed by the power of God. They're being brought out of darkness. They're set free
by the power of Jesus Christ. The gospel sets people free. The gospel heals. The gospel restores. Bring those people into my house, the master calls. He says, bring them in. Those who had the invitation, they were too busy, had too many excuses. Now bring those in who have no excuse, who have but a desire to be accepted. You bring them in, and I will accept them, and I will heal them. I will minister to them, and they will partake of that which I have prepared. Heaven's going to be an interesting place. You're going to see some people in heaven that you never thought would ever make it, perhaps, but the grace of God has touched their lives. You see, there are some folk who only want to belong to certain clubs and certain organizations if the right people are there. You know, you have to have a certain pedigree, so to speak. You have to have a certain background. You have to live in a certain neighborhood. You have to kind of move in certain circles. And if you have the right connections, then you're given an invitation to belong to certain clubs or organizations or societies. But that's not the way it is with Jesus. You see, he accepts all who hunger and thirst, all who are desperate. Jesus accepts them. He says, you come on into my house. And you know what? You'll never find a house like that of Jesus. God's house, the heavenly house that he has prepared, that place where the banquet's being held. There's never been a meal held at the White House that can rival what God has for those who come to his table. Master's response. The invitation was given to others. And notice the burning desire. We close with this. The desire of the master, again, goes back to what we said at the beginning. He said, go now into the highways and along the hedges, because the answer came back, well, we've gone out, we've got the crippled, we've got the blind and lame, we brought all those people in, all those that were on the streets, but now we got them in the house, but master, your house is so big and the table, we still haven't filled the house, there's still some empty seats. Look around this morning. Any empty seats? What does God want? Let me ask you, what do you want? Do you want what God wants? And the slave said, Master, we've done everything you've asked us, and still there is room. I wonder, have we any room? Have we any room here today? The invitation given, and the master gives that call out again. He says, you go out into the highways and along the hedges, and you're going to find people outside of these city limits. You've got all those off the streets now, but there are others out there, and they don't even know what's going on. They're out there along the highways, and there's many of them maybe sitting by the roadside, and they have nothing to do. You go out and you find those people. Do you know what it's like to go out and beat the bushes looking for something that, I mean, you don't know exactly what you look. You just go out and beat the bushes looking for people. And the invitation is, God is saying to the church, listen, don't set up restrictions in advance. Well, I'll talk to that person because that looks like a nice person. I'd like to have a conversation with them. I think they'll probably listen to me. You don't set, really, the criteria for who we invite to the table of the Lord. God does. And he says, you go out and whoever you find, wherever they are, you see, because again, God wants everyone to come to the table of the Lord. God wants everyone in his house. God's not willing that any should perish. The heart of the master is that he wants his house to be full. And I ask you this morning and leave you with this thought, what does this parable now say to you? Bow in prayer. Lord Jesus, God help us if we've ever made an excuse. If we've ever put off your timing because we thought our timing was better. Oh God, forgive us. Lord, help us to understand the day in which we live. One day, all opportunities will be gone. There will be no tomorrow. There will be no another time. Lord Jesus, help us to stand before you without excuse. Because that's the human thing to do, as we so well know. When we hear the voice of the Master call to us, may we lay all aside and say, oh God, because you have called me, I hear your voice, and your voice rings true in my heart, and I will lay everything else aside because you are calling me. I will come to your table. Let us live, O God, in the light of your word and in the victory that awaits those who dine at the table of the Lord. In your name I pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to ask you to stand this morning. I want you to realize, folks, that we live in days unlike others. These are serious days. And all of us need to be serious when it comes to the things of God. And I need to hear what God is saying to me, just like you need to hear what God is saying to you. And when it comes to priorities in our lives, now we are approaching the summer months. And you know, traditionally what happens is that our attendance goes down because there are other things, and there's nothing necessarily wrong with a lot of things. But you have the opportunity to make some decisions. You have the opportunity to prioritize what you're going to do. I trust, as we face these days of vacation and recreation, all that, that you will be careful not to prioritize other things above what God's will is for you and for your family. I trust that you will consider and keep in mind the work of the Lord, and that you will do everything in your power not to comfortably make excuses for not being in the house of the Lord. If you're doing some things, you're out of town or whatever, that's one thing. But hear me today. We need you here. We need God's house to be full. When God's house is full, there's nothing but joy. I mean, there is vitality and there is victory. And when you've experienced it, you'll never want to leave it. You'll want to get back to the table of the Lord because it was so wonderful the last time you were there. You'll want to be there again. And I'm praying that that's what you'll feel this summer in your hearts. That as we approach these summer months, that you will during the week think about being again at the table of the Lord in God's house to experience the bounty that he has prepared for you. Jesus, let it be. May your blessing be upon this congregation as they take to heart the word of the Lord today. And, oh God, as we purpose in our lives, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. Oh God, lift up your people. Help them to realize the great joy there is in being at your table that you've prepared for them. Move by your Spirit in every life, that your people may be blessed as they work diligently for you, bringing in those along the highways and the byways, those perhaps that are the unlikely ones, that they take the message to them, oh God, and experience the great joy in bringing them to the Master's house. I ask your blessing now upon your people as we leave this place. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. God bless you and have a great Lord's Day.
On my own. Now that I am seen.